Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and Merry Christmas! Christmas is going to be here very soon, and Jesus said in Luke 14:23, "Go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everybody you find to come in so that my house will be full." Who are you thinking of to bring to your church? Whoever it is, I want to challenge you to be a light at Christmas and invite them to services at your church.
Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us. Today, we're continuing a powerful series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. And in this series, Rick will show you how to grow deep in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and become everything He created you to be. Let's get started with part two of a message called Radical Freedom.
Freedom is the power to say both yes and no. Not just yes, but to say no to some things. And if you don't have the power to say no, there's a word for that. It's called addiction. And you get obsessions and compulsions and addictions in your life because you don't have the power to say no. Let me give you an example. I read this story this week. I thought it was a good example of what I'm trying to share with you. The guy says, "My parents were the typical liberated baby boomers." I perceive they were probably hippies growing up. "My parents were the typical liberated baby boomers, so there weren't many boundaries in our home for me growing up. My dad thought he was being cool, allowing me to experiment with sex and even drugs. My sister and I were encouraged to, quote, find your bliss, end quote. And we were encouraged to do whatever we felt like doing, all in the name of creativity and freedom. But by the time we were in our mid-20s, both my sister and I were really messed up and confused. My sister had had two abortions. I got AIDS. And my new wife left me because I couldn't end my addiction to meth and porn. My so-called freedom wasn't freedom at all. It was a sham. On the outside, I appeared to be enjoying the fast life. But inside, I was enslaved. Enslaved to my own fears, my own insecurities, and my own compulsions. I needed somebody to free me from myself. Bingo. You need somebody to free you from yourself. There are things that you don't like about you that you've tried to change and you can't. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't. And there are things you go, "Man, I don't like that. You know, I don't like worrying all the time, but I don't know how to stop it. I don't know why I say these things that embarrass me, but I don't know how to stop it. Why do I fly off at the handle at the people I love the most? I don't want to do that, but I can't stop it. And I don't want to be afraid, and I don't want to be nervous, and I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be stressed out all the time, but I am. How do I stop it? I wish I was more patient. I'm not. I wish I was more organized. I'm not. I wish I was more loving and kind to people, but I'm not. I wish I was less selfish. There are a lot of things you don't like about you. You cover them up. You try to make it look like it's no big deal, but it's a big deal to you. You don't have the power to stop. You don't have the power to say no. That kind of power only comes from God. It only comes from God. I've told you this many times that, you know, the reason why so many self-help books are sold every year is because people have an innate desire to change themselves. This year, not thousands, tens of thousands of self-help books will be written on everything from how to manage your time better, to how to be a better leader, to how to lose weight, how to save your relationship, and on and on and on. And actually, many of those self-help books have some good advice in them. They actually do have some good things. The one thing that they don't provide is the power. No book gives you the power to change. You can read it, and you can know the right thing to do, and still not do it. Everybody agree with that? I mean, it's kind of like the way I read diet books. You know, I get a good diet book. I sit down in my lazy boy chair, get a bag of potato chips and a Coke, And I start reading this diet book. And I go, man, this is good. This is really good. In fact, I'll get out a highlighter. I think I'll underline some parts of this. It's really, in fact, this is so good. I think I'm going to memorize sections of this diet book. And I'll put it on a little card. And I mean, this is really good. In fact, I feel healthy just reading it. But do I do anything about it? No. Why? You don't have the power to do the right thing unless you plug into that power to do the right thing. And you say, God, I'm going to need your help. I need that kind of freedom. The power to not do the wrong thing. The Bible talks about this a lot. 2 Peter says this here on the screen. Some people arrogantly use nonsense to seduce people by appealing to their sexual desires, especially to sexual freedom. In other words, hey, man, everybody's doing it. Sexual freedom. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to corruption. And then here's the key. A person is a slave to whatever he gives into. You see, why God hates sin, and besides the fact that it's rebellion against him, but one of the things we don't realize is that sin is addicting. All sin is addicting. You do it once, you want to do it again, and 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 pretty soon, you can't stop. You can't stop. And it has become a habit in your life. It's become a compulsion in your life. It's become a pattern in your life. And you don't know how to break that pattern because you don't have the power. Paul voiced this tension this way in Romans 7, here on the screen. What a miserable person I am. Who's going to free me from this life that is dominated by sin? I can't stop worrying. I got insomnia all the time. I can't stop being afraid. I can't stop second-guessing myself. I can't stop putting myself down. I can't stop living in shame. I can't stop on and on and on. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin? And then he answers his own question. Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why? Because Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Radical freedom is not simply no limits. Radical freedom is the freedom to change. To say yes to the things that are good for you, that are healthy for you, that build your life, that produce happiness, significance in these things, and to say no to the stuff that's self-destructive, that destroys your relationships and destroys your life and destroys your health and all these other things. The Bible talks about it like this in Romans chapter 6. Our old sinful selves, the ones that want to do the self-destructive stuff, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Did you know that? There's a spiritual principle that when Christ died for you, he died for all of us, and we're included in that, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. That's freedom. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean I don't sin anymore? Obviously not. I sin all the time, and so do you. What is it saying? The set free from the power of sin is now I have the power to not do it. Before, I didn't have any power. It was just me against my addictions, me against my habits, me against the things I don't like. Now, I actually have a power outside of myself to say no. See, this is what makes you different from animals. Animals have no ability to disobey their instincts. That's what makes an animal an animal. Animals do not make moral choices. Animals are guided by instincts. And so they just do what is instinctual for them. What makes you a human is you're made in God's image. You have the power to say no. It's not a power on your own. It's a power that God gives you by his grace. That's freedom. It's the freedom to have a clear conscience. It's the freedom to have direct access to God and say, God, I need help right now. It's the freedom to say no to things that mess up my life and to say yes to good things. When people say, the temptation was too heavy, I just couldn't help it. Well, if they don't have Christ in their life, they're right. They don't have that help. They don't have that power. But if you say, I just couldn't help it, but you have Christ in your life, you're not telling the truth. Because the truth is, God says, if you'll have direct access to me, I will give you the power to help it. And I will never allow a temptation on you so great you can't say no to it. That's radical freedom. Number four, radical freedom is living with meaning and purpose. Radical freedom, real, genuine freedom, not political, but radical spiritual freedom, means living a life of meaning and living a life of purpose. Now, this is so important because most people are all bound up and they're not living, really. They're just existing. Most people don't know how to live. They just exist. That's why Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, because most people aren't living. They drift through life. They exist through life. And as a result, we're empty inside. And we're always looking for something to fill that emptiness. A relationship, if I could just get married, if I could just get the right girlfriend or boyfriend, then my relationship, if I had the right relationship, that'd fill my emptiness. If I had the right job, that'd fill my emptiness. If I just had found the right hobby, and they move from hobby to hobby, looking for something to fill their emptiness. Everybody is looking for something to fill their emptiness. It may be a pill or a bottle or television or pornography or a book or any, it could be something good, a good cause to fill the emptiness in my life. Doesn't have to be something evil. But there's this God-shaped hole inside of you that isn't going to be filled with anything except God. People are empty inside. And Jesus Christ came to set you free from that emptiness, to set you free to a life of meaning and purpose. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 1, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. I looked up this word empty in Greek. It's a metaios. Metaios means worthless, purposeless, empty, useless. It means futile. It means vain. And this is the way most of the world lives, as if things that are so insignificant are extremely important. Most people are building their lives on things that have no meaning at all. They're giving first-class allegiance to second-class causes, and those causes are betraying them. Jesus said, I came to set you free from an empty life, from a purposeless life. You see, when you are empty, what happens in your life is you start looking to other people for your validation. And most people are enslaved by the approval of others. Some are still enslaved by their parents. I've met people who are still trying to prove their worth to their parents, and their parents died 10 years ago. And they still hear in their mind, you're never going to amount to such and such. And why can't you be like your sister or your brother? And so the rest of their lives, they live their lives trying to prove that their parents were wrong. If you never got your parents' approval, and you haven't got it by now, you're not going to get it. I hate to tell you that, you're not going to get it. It's about them, not you. It's their problem, not you. But the good news, and I've told you this before, is you don't need it. You don't need anybody's approval to be happy. You're as happy as you choose to be. And you already have God's approval. If you've trusted Christ, he says, I see you faultless. I see you without blame. I see you deeply loved. Flawed, yes. Broken, yes. Loved, yes. Forgiven, yes. And nobody's going to love you like Jesus did. And when you have God's approval, it really doesn't matter what other people think. But so many people go out and spend money trying to earn the approval of others by having certain status symbols or certain things that they buy in order to say, see, look at me, I'm worthwhile. What I'm wearing proves I'm worthwhile. What I'm driving proves I'm worthwhile. The house I live in proves I'm worthwhile. Those people are not free. Radical freedom is, I don't look to anybody to validate my worth because I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I don't need your approval. That's radical freedom. Most of the world doesn't live by that. They're culture-driven, not purpose-driven. And so they're not free. And they do things simply because everybody else is doing it. The power of culture keeps you from becoming all God intended for you to be. And your uniqueness gets squashed because you feel like you got to fit in. Jesus wants to set you free. So you don't have to fit in anymore to find your happiness. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2. You have died with Christ, this is on the cross, and he has set you free, there's that phrase, set you free from the evil powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world? Good question. Why do I care what other people think? They're not God. They don't love me. In fact, they're not even thinking about me. The big myth is that everybody's watching you all the time. They're not. You know what they're doing? They're doing the same thing you're doing. How do I look to everybody else? The big discovery is you walk in the room, nobody's looking at you. They're all thinking about, how do I look? How do I look? How do I look? He says, you've been set free from the evil powers of this world, the culture's grip on your life that tries to make you a conformed person. And he says, so why do you keep on following the rules of the world? Number five, this is the greatest freedom of all. Radical freedom. It's not only a clear conscience, personal access to God, the power to do what's right, living with meaning and purpose. Radical freedom is no fear of death or the devil. No fear of death or the devil. Now, of course, the fear of death is a universal fear because the last time I checked, the mortality rate in America is 100%. Everybody dies. Now, we don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or 50 years or 100 years or you don't know, but the fact is it's inevitable. God didn't put you on this planet to live here forever. He wants you to trust Christ so you live forever with him in eternity in a perfect place. Thank God we don't have to live forever on a broken planet. But he says, Satan creates the fear of death in our lives. And the Bible says this, Jesus became flesh and blood by being born in human form. That's what Christmas is all about. God came to earth in human form, the incarnation. For only as a human being could he die. You see, if God hadn't come in human form, he couldn't die. God can't die. Only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. And only in this way could he set us free. There's the phrase. Set us free from living our entire lives as slaves to the fear of dying. This is the fear nobody wants to admit. And we go through life pretending we're not going to die, acting like we're not going to die, denying that we're going to die, ignoring that we're going to die. People don't like to talk about death. I mean, you ever want to mess up a good conversation? Invite your neighbors over for a 4th of July, grill some burgers and say, let's talk about death. That'll put the kibosh on the attitude for everybody. You're going to go, man, how morbid is that? But only a fool would go through life unprepared for what you know is inevitable. Jesus said, I came to set you free from the fear of dying. I can say to you in all honesty, all authenticity, and perfect truth, I have zero fear of dying. Zero fear of dying. I have no fear of dying. Fear of pain, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, I have zero fear of dying. I could die today a happy man. The only regret would be for my wife, Kay, and my kids and grandkids and the people that I love. But as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, you know, when you die, if you know the Lord, you're not leaving home, you're going home. You're going where you were meant to be for eternity. I'm not afraid to die because I know God. I've been a friend of God's for 45 years or longer. I talk to him all the time like I'm talking to you. I'm not afraid of God. The only people who are afraid of God are the people who don't know him. The better you get to know him, the less you're afraid of him. Why? Because God is love. And the Bible says there's no fear in love. How can you fear someone who loves you unconditionally? How could you fear someone who thinks about you more than you do? God knows every detail in your life. Remember how Jesus said he knows even how many hairs you have on your head? You don't even know that. God knows details about your life you will never know. He knows far more about your motives than you do. You can't figure them out. He's got them all figured out. He knows your fears better than you do. He knows your sins better than you do. He knows your strengths better than you do. And he loves you unconditionally. So why would I be afraid to go be with him the rest of my life? And if he created the world and it's beautiful and yet broken, what's it like in a place that has no brokenness in it? How beautiful must it be? The colors and the activities and all of the things that are there, including our loved ones. Jesus sets us free from the fear of death. Have you reached that part in your maturity yet? You see, the better you get to know the Lord, the more his love infiltrates your life. When love comes in the front door, fear goes out the back door. Now, on the other hand, when fear comes in the front door, love goes out the back door. Love and fear can't operate in the same entity. There is no fear in love. That's what the Bible teaches. So you need to fill your life with the love of God. And when the more you do that, the fewer fears that you have in your life. Jesus not only frees us, though, from the fear of death, he frees us from the fear of the devil. And even a lot of believers are kind of freaked out by the devil. Yes, he does exist. He's real. If you don't believe it, let me take you around the world and I'll show you his work in action. Through all kinds of slavery, sex trafficking, corruption, all of the sins of the world. There is real evil in the world. Terrorism and all these other things. And a lot of people kind of freaked out by the devil and demons and the occult. And you don't need to be afraid of that. Why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What Jesus said.
Thanks so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, your prayers and financial support have a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So we really appreciate that. Thank you. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Today, I want to share with you a very special testimony from one of our listeners named Marquita. And thanks to Daily Hope and your support, she recently asked Jesus Christ to be the leader of her life. Here's her story. So, Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know that I have prayed the prayer of salvation that you included in the Deepening the Eyes of Faith message. I've been listening to your messages for years. In fact, my child wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for your words. You wrote, "There may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children." Well, I've given birth to a beautiful baby girl. And she's the light of my life. In fact, it now hurts to remember a time that I was fighting to decide whether I was going to have her or not. But I repeated your words throughout my pregnancy. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. And although I'm a single mom today with the support of my family, we're thriving. I want to make sure that she grows up to find her purpose and to serve God. So thanks for renewing my faith in God. And as I still try to find and fulfill my purpose, please pray for me and my child. Wow. Marquita, you are so right. God does have a plan and a purpose for every single baby. There are no accidental babies. So I want to take a moment right now and just pray for you in this broadcast. I'll pray for you and for your daughter. Lord, I'm asking you right now to put your hand of protection, your hand of blessing,
your hand of guidance on Marquita and her daughter. And I'm praying for both of them to know your purpose, to feel your presence, to discover your power, to live in your plan for each of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, if you'd like to help support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and have your financial gift doubled by the $100,000 matching grant, it's easy. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.